You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll take a look at the back and forth between Leah Vukmir and Tammy Baldwin over the scandal at the Toma VA Medical Center. First, turn on the radio or the TV, and you'll probably get a lot of this kind of thing.
Happening now, breaking news, election secrets exposed.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tearing into John Kerry for meeting with Iranian officials and undermining the Trump administration.
A sharp divide for Republicans over race. This year,
if Democrats win, and at this point that could definitely happen, maybe it's even likely to happen, they will immediately try to impeach the president. Now, they claim they're not planning
to do
that.
President Trump did something striking and really without precedent in the White House or this White House or any White House until now. He signaled in plain English.
The U.S. Senate was releasing this report today.
So it all probably sounds pretty familiar. Fighting over politics isn't anything new, a hallmark of journalism. But the tenor, tone, and frequency of news stories seems to have changed since the 2016 election. News from the White House, various investigations, and political infighting on Capitol Hill have become commonplace. While the steady stream of drama from Washington, D.C. might help some media companies, it might be overwhelming for many Americans. According to a Pew Research survey, nearly 7 out of 10 Americans are experiencing news fatigue. And the impact of the nonstop political news coverage could have some long-term effects, namely on how people engage with the political process. Mike Wagner is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison and an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He blogs at prowag.me. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be with you.
Well, is this a thing, political fatigue, political burnout?
I think so. You know, especially in the age in which we live where, you know, it used to be that if you wanted to catch up with the news, you got it in the morning paper and then at 5:30 on all three channels when the news was on, right? And now you can get news from anywhere at any time, and you even get news in places where you might not go looking for it, like social media. You might go to Facebook or Twitter to see what's going on with your friends, and then you see a bunch of posts about politics. And so it's increasingly hard to avoid the news, although many people still try hard to do so.
Is this a story of we are in the Trump post-election era seeing lots more stories, lots more controversy out there? Or is it a story of what you just said, the media availability? Or is there a little bit of both going on?
I think it's an interaction between them. So on the one hand, as I was just saying, it's just way easier to get inundated with information because of technology and kind of the media ecology that we live in. On the other hand, we have a president now who, when there is a controversy, doesn't behave in ways that most leaders behave when there is a controversy, which is to either stay quiet or try to redirect the conversation toward a substantive issue. Most presidents, when something is going wrong for them, try to make a policy proposal or start some kind of new initiative, whereas President Trump finds another controversy to take away from whatever the controversy of the minute is. And there are times when what started the day as the big story is gone by the afternoon, which is just very different than how we lived even 3 or 4 years ago.
Is this a case where candidate Donald Trump and President Donald Trump maybe understood the way our media works in a way that many other politicians did not, and how to put himself into that process?
You know, some of my colleagues at UW-Madison have done research where they conclude that President Trump is a social media savant. He is just very adept at intuitively, it seems, understanding what will get attention from his base, from the news media, and then from those who will hear about what he's doing from the news media. And so using those different avenues to not necessarily control the conversation, but to help make sure that the conversation doesn't dwell on any one thing that he doesn't want it dwelling on.
Let's look at how news providers behave now. You mentioned in the old days, okay, if I'm a TV news producer, I'm competing with two other networks. If I'm a newspaper editor, maybe I've got the crosstown competition, but that's about it. Now there's this huge competition for eyeballs between 24-hour cable news channels, social media, news sites. Is this driving a different kind of coverage that, maybe it lures people in, but it also burns them out?
There is a little bit, I think, to that, and part of it is that, as you say, that kind of coverage does lure people in. If it didn't lure people in, news sources would stop doing it. They would try to do something else to lure people in. And so part of it, I think, is just as you say, that the st- style of coverage is at once kind of titillating on the one hand and exhausting on the other hand. Another part of it is the political strategies that the two parties are engaged in. Part of it is the different set of incentives that different media have. And part of it, I think, is kind of the economic bottom line for what can media companies use as metrics to sell to advertisers to say we're successful, we're worthy of you spending your money to help us keep the lights on and cover the news.
Talking to UW-Madison professor Mike Wagner about information fatigue, political news burnout, and people have been commenting on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Curtis, who says, nothing left of me but ash. I'm so burned out on political news and the asinine comments of both parties. I read, listen to music, play silly games on Facebook, work in the yard, etc. So Curtis turns away when he can, but big picture, Mike, is there a concern that if people are in fact feeling fatigue from all the political news, it might lead people to not want to participate in the political system?
It can lead to a few negative outcomes, something psychologists refer to as cognitive load, right? We've all experienced stressful times where we just can't handle one more thing. And sometimes the news cycle behaves in that same kind of way where there's Bob Woodward's new book out, and then there's an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times, and then President Trump's campaign chairman seems to have flipped to Robert Mueller in the investigation into Russia's involvement in the election. At the same time, there's a Supreme Court nomination, and at the same time, there's information that that nominee might have sexually assaulted someone, and then there's comments from the right and the left as to whether that person should be heard and in what venue and how, and it just gets to be a ton. And sometimes what can happen is people can just shut down and say, okay, no more. Something else that can happen is people say, well, that's it, a pox on both your houses, everybody is bad in the same way, which is not a very, you know, careful and deliberative way to consider what kind of representation we're getting from our leadership.
I want to bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. Jeremy is with us in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think the media is playing a huge role in a lot of people's political fatigue. I really do. President Trump will put some tweet out, and then you'll turn on the news, and the news media will dedicate an entire segment about that tweet. It's already been out. He tweeted it. People have made some comments on that tweet, but now we got to listen to it on the mainstream media. Then we got to listen to it on our app for like Flipboard or something. So it's just a constant beating of the same drum over and over again until the next news cycle comes, until the next tweet comes, and then everybody's hanging on every little word. I think the media really needs to start looking at the quality of the news that they're delivering to us, and see whether or not, okay, is this really worth the time? There are other things we could dedicate the time to, local media, local news, local politics, governor races, things like that, kind of keep it a little bit more down to earth instead of ranting off about every little thing that President Trump does.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for calling in. Mike, Jeremy gave us a lot to work with there. Let's start with when the president tweets, how much is the media obliged to cover it?
So the news media seem drawn to like a moth to a flame to President Trump's tweets on occasion, but it's not necessarily his tweets as much as it is the reaction to them. And so in some research done by some of my colleagues at UW, Josephine Lucido and Devon Shah and John Peavyhouse and others did a group project where they examined media response to the president's tweets. And what they found is that it's really when they're getting shared, when they're getting retweeted a lot, that is kind of a signal to the news media that people are really talking about this one, and so we should cover it. And so part of it is that the news media are covering those tweets because a lot of people are sharing those tweets. Now, it's also the case that a lot of bots on social media are sharing those tweets and kind of ginning up the attention to reach levels that they don't actually reach with real humans, and so that's part of it. And then the other thing your caller mentioned was about local news, and it's not really the case that local news is as interested in say, the president's Twitter behavior as they are in local news. Local news, especially local television news, still tends to rank number one for people when it comes to where they get their information, and they usually lead with local stories and not what the president's doing on Twitter.
But is there, I think what Jeremy, in addition to local reporting, is maybe make the case that I've heard out there that okay, maybe we don't need that insider Washington type politics following the latest hot Washington story of the day. We need more substantive stuff. I've seen that from one of the founders, I think, of Politico, which was kind of the poster child for insider political coverage. Is there a case there that the media could be bringing us something a little richer and deeper if they devoted fewer resources to the daily twists and turns?
Absolutely. I think for people interested in this idea, Jay Rosen, who's a journalism professor who blogs a lot and writes a lot in popular media, writes a lot about the benefits of outsider coverage and says we, as you were saying, do way too much. Here's what officials at the White House or maybe in the state, here's what officials in the governor's mansion or the state house say. And we would be benefiting if more national journalists especially were engaged in richer kinds of journalism that required less inside sources and more covering of government documents and use of resources, covering more individuals who work in the bureaucracy to see how efficient government is operating, to see who's getting left behind in the country, to see who's benefiting at the expense of others, the kinds of things that aren't part and parcel of insider source type coverage.
We're talking to Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He's an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He blogs at prowag.me, and he's with us to talk about news burnout, specifically political news, and the impact it might have on people's news consumption and maybe their political participation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you experiencing political news fatigue? Does it make you want to pay attention less to the news? How else does it impact you? What do you do about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation now about political news burnout and the impact it might have on voters. Our guest is Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Are you feeling worn out? Does it sometimes seem like too much to see or read or hear one more story about politics, maybe especially national politics? Or no, you're not feeling that at all. Give you more. And what do you do to deal with the constant flow of news? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Go back to our callers now. Ross is with us in Middleton. Ross, hi.
Hi. So my comment is I'm kind of on the opposite end. And it's because I think maybe because of these smartphones, maybe computers, that it's almost more of a borderline obsession with sort of going minute to minute, sort of like how news events are kind of going, like what's happening with the Kavanaugh thing now. And it's sort of, it isn't really a fatigue, although I suspect that maybe over time, maybe like, I don't know, months or years or something, I may just get pooped out of it. But I'm kind of on the opposite end. It seems like I'm following it a bit too much.
Ross, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing that. Ross, I'm guessing Mike is not alone. A lot of people following their whatever Twitter feed, news updates in whatever form they get them to keep up to the minute.
Right. You know, it's always dangerous to say there are two kinds of people, but sometimes for analytic purposes it's useful. And if we think about some people are like your caller who are kind of, you know, news junkies, and they love, you know, seeking out the news. They love knowing the latest things that are happening at all levels of government. And other people are more entertainment junkies who would love to, figure out when the marvelous Mrs. Maisel is coming back to Amazon Prime or whatever and wait to watch the next shows and would do whatever they could to avoid the news. And both kinds of people, when they click on the stuff they're interested in, kind of have the parts of their brain light up that are associated with pleasure. And so kind of psychologists who study information seeking find that both news junkies and entertainment junkies really, really like their style of information seeking. And it's something that in some cases can even, you know, be habit forming or, you know, at the most extreme cases, kind of addictive kinds of behavior. And you all probably know someone who is constantly checking their phone, constantly refreshing their Facebook stream or WPR's homepage or the New York Times' homepage or whatever their favorite source is.
Ross, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Martha with us in Menominee. Martha, hi.
Hi there. You know, I'm loving all this hot political stuff. It just makes me want to go vote. I feel fortunate to live in this digital analog age where when the president lies, I know about it right away. I feel fortunate to be informed. And I think, you know, the last election, a lot of people went on emotion and not information. And so I'm going to educate myself and get my information, and I don't confuse journalists with entertainers. So, you know, I carefully digest my news. And when it gets to be too much, you know, there's always the off switch. So,
Martha, thanks a lot for calling and not turning us off. Mike, what do you think?
That sounds like a healthy way of approaching things. Staying informed as much as you can, and if it gets to be too much, find something else to do for a little bit. That's a reasonable way, I think, to proceed.
Thanks a lot for that call, Martha, at 800-642-1234, talking to Mike Wagner about political news fatigue. Back to your calls. Tasha is on the line in Madison. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to call. I'm a political organizer for a nonpartisan political action committee, so I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I don't really get tired of political news, but I really wish, like, 24-hour news cycles would stop covering Trump and, like, other political trolls' tweets, because we're just giving them attention, and that's exactly what they want.
Tasha, thanks for the call. Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly the case, I think, that the president's social media behavior is designed in part to draw attention away from some things and toward other things. And given the way that it's so much easier now for both individuals who want to follow the news and organizations that report the news to learn from each other, it's the case that news organizations can understand, oh, this is hot right now, this is trending, this is generating a lot of clicks or generating a lot of Google searches, and that can cause more coverage, which can then cause more people to learn about something because they see that coverage, which might generate more interest, and it kind of is this perpetuating cycle of kind of uptaking different kinds of agendas, and that is certainly something that happens, and sometimes I think it's strategic, and sometimes it's a little bit more random, but it has similar effects.
Want to visit our, thanks for that call, Tasha, visit our Ideas Network Facebook page. Tyrone writes, I'm not burned out. I read, listen to, and watch a fair amount of political news. Much of the news is maddening, but I try to remain engaged and deal with it through writing or speaking about it. And Chris writes, I enjoy the political humor, especially like Samantha Bee or John Oliver. It's satire. The other thing I know is when to say, this is just a bit too much today. Mike, some people maybe have that sort of insulated filter through satire, as we heard from Chris there.
That's right. And different kinds of people like different kinds of humor. And research done by Dana Young shows that liberals in particular kind of like satire and irony a bit more and are more likely to watch the John Oliver, Stephen Colbert, Samantha Bee type programs. And conservatives like a little bit broader humor and humor with less irony and less satire, and they might like Jimmy Fallon a little bit more, or, you know, the old-style Tonight Show under Jay Leno or before that Johnny Carson. And so people of different ideological orientations prefer different kinds of humor, which, you know, are ways to deal with the information overload, but are also just ways to kind of cool down at the end of the day, whether you were following the news or not.
Let's go back to our callers. Jan is with us in Middleton. Jan, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I really like NPR's and you guys, Wisconsin Public Radio's, take on some of the news, because I want meat. I don't want frivolous. I don't eat ice cream or candy. I want the good stuff in there. And so I'm just really tired of all the fluff that's going on and all the misdirection that's happening in tweeting world and social media, and then the firestorm of people responding and opinioning afterwards.
Jan, thanks a lot for the call. Mike, I'll say just informally among people I know, friends and family, I think I have about an equal number of people who say, Rob, I turn your show off when there's too much politics, and Rob, I turn your show off when there's not enough politics. So there's different schools of thought there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, some people are kind of media omnivores in a researcher from Northwestern, Steph Edgerly's phrasing, where they like all kinds of information, news, entertainment, whatever they can get. And other people are looking for liberal news or conservative news or any kind of news. And other people, search out just the information that tells them they're right. And we live in an era where all of those different kinds of people can find sources that are just for them.
Thanks for that call. Jan, we'll go back to your calls. Mike is with us in Rice Lake. Mike, hi.
Hi, how you guys doing? I just want to comment. Since I was a little kid, I was delivering newspapers. I was reading the paper every day. Really was a real news junkie and consistently watching, you know, all the news I could get, NPR, PBS, and networks too. But the last 2 years, it's gotten such a bombardment daily, if not hourly, of all this stuff where I found that now I'll go to my browser and look at the headlines, but I rarely even click through because I just want to know, okay, what's going on in general, but I'm tired of the details because it's tiring. It's fatiguing.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. And Mike Wagner, we just have a few moments left. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with the news. There's just so much out there. It's hard to do much more than keep up with the headlines sometimes.
It's impossible to know everything that's available to us because there's literally an infinite amount of information out there that we can never fully get. And so it can feel overwhelming, and people need, I think, to figure out what's most important to them, what's important to their communities, and where can they go, and who can they trust to give them the best information to help them make the best decisions possible for themselves.
We'll leave it there for now. Thanks to all our callers. And Mike, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure.
That's Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison and an affiliate of the Elections Research Center. He also blogs at prowag.me. He joined us today to talk about whether people are getting burned out on all the political news out there and what impact that could have on people's political behavior. Still time for you to share your thoughts on this issue. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. A lot of comments there. Are you feeling burned out by too much political news? And when you feel that way, what do you do about it? Do you give yourself a media timeout or what? Join us at the Ideas Network Facebook page.